better to start? I'll start anyway. I'm going to go through a brief overview of the federal fisheries management process for spiny dogfish, and basically try to answer a few of the basic questions. I'm glad to see a lot of unfamiliar faces here, because maybe for those of you who have been active in the council process, a lot of what you're going to see is pretty familiar stuff. So anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Just to be really clear, the federal management of spiny dogfish is the jurisdiction for federal waters is from 3 miles to 200 miles out, as opposed to state waters, which are from the shoreline to 3 miles out. So we have separate plans, basically. The founding and current statutory basis for federal fisheries management is the Magnuson-Stevens Act, which reauthorized in January of 2007. It established 8 regional councils. It mandated the development of federal fishery management plans. It established later national standards, and also established the process for federal fisheries management. So in terms of the who, what, why, and how, that the councils and the National Marine Fisheries are the who. They form the plans, and the national standards provide the rationale for what goes into the plans, what's permissible and what isn't, and then of course the bureaucratic process of how is also established in that act. Along the East Coast, there are 3 fishery management councils. There's the New England Council, which has jurisdiction, so to speak, of fisheries from Connecticut north. The Mid-Atlantic Council has New York, South and North Carolina, and then the South Atlantic Council is actually also North Carolina, but exclusively South Carolina, Georgia, and East Coast Florida. So with regard to spiny dogfish, the Mid-Atlantic Council and the New England Fishery Management Council have joint management of the stock, and they're involved in development jointly and development of the FMP, and meet jointly to establish annual management measures. However, the Mid-Atlantic Council has the lead. So I'm the staff support on the Mid-Atlantic Council for spiny dogfish, and basically my job is to get all the paperwork done, incorporate the analysis, and present stuff to the council and the various committees. So the federal spiny dogfish FMP was implemented in 2000 in response to an assessment in 1997. There's always these things don't happen overnight, but in 97 the stock was declared overfished. The FMP requires that, in terms of the annual management measures, that the councils recommend quotas and possibly other management measures that assure that the target F will not be exceeded. Okay, so that's basically the charge of the councils and its supporting committees. The why in the MSA, like I said before, are the national standards. Specifically, federal management measures, those specified by the councils and then finally approved by the National Marine Fisheries Service, are supposed to prevent overfishing, and that's National Standard 1. And the National Standard 2 would be based on the best scientific information available. And Section 304, Reader's Digest version, basically says to rebuild the fishery in as short a time as possible. And throughout the federal fishery management history, for spiny dogfish, rebuilding has been the goal. How does the fishery management process happen on an annual basis? Well, first we get a stock status update from the Science Center from Paul, and that goes to actually with the revised Magnuson-Stevens Act, or the 2000 version, we're going to have more involvement from our Science and Statistical Committee. But we have yet to really write in stone exactly how they're going to be involved. But the idea is that this is a group of, I want to say a little a notch up on in terms of there tend to be academics, almost all PhDs, and they're going to take a critical look at the stock assessment update, provide recommendations for a maximum on the harvest level in the upcoming year. And then the monitoring committee is going to receive their recommendations and make a and review the stock assessment update in light of the SFC's advice. They'll forward that to the joint committee. The stock is, as I said, jointly managed with the New England and the Mid-Atlantic Councils. So there's a committee of New England, three members from New England, four members from Mid-Atlantic Council, who develop management measures to, after reviewing the monitoring committee recommendations, develop those and then forward those on to the councils. I didn't have, none of them had a logo, so I just used the Mid-Atlantic one. So the councils review it. Then, after the specifications package is developed, all the supporting analyses, some of it of more value than others, that gets sent up to the regional office in Gloucester. They review it, and if it's deemed acceptable, then it's goes through the rulemaking process, goes into the Code of Federal Regulations, and then you can eat some dogfish. In its review, here's kind of the kind of information that Paul presented is sort of the kind of information that the SSC and the monitoring committees are going to see. Here's what we saw a couple of years ago, and things didn't look good. And basically, I was assigned dogfish in 2003, and I was the new guy. Yeah, I showed up and they're like, here's dogfish. We all thought, well, rebuilding's not going to occur in our lifetimes. We'll just sit back and set a really low, a restrictive bycatch quota and quite restrictive trip limits, 600 pounds or so. And we'll just see that out through our careers. Our children will pick it up. We didn't see any light really, based on the survey results. But then they started to pick up, and in 2006, and then in 2007 they continued to be higher. And then Paul showed a figure with an update for 2008, which. I don't know if it's high. Is it higher than the 2006 value even?
No.
It's in between the two, just a little less than the 2006 value. So we're seeing that recovery that movement of immature females into the mature female stock occurring and being reflected in the survey results. I should mention, this is very important, that basically the status of the stock rebuilding, everything is in terms of reproductively mature females. So the status of males, the status of, you know, the total stock biomass, all that stuff is important. But when the plan was developed, the recovery of the mature females was the focus of the rebuilding plan. And of course that's because, as Paul said, they were the target of the really unregulated directed fishery that occurred in the 90s. So what we'll get out of a monitoring committee meeting is an estimate of SSB spawning stock biomass, which that is the biomass of mature females. They aren't really spawned, but that's what we call it. So for 2006, I didn't have the 2007 value because what we do is we'll get that at the meeting on the 16th of this month. But the 2006 value last year was important for making recommendations and reporting to the council what the stock status of the fishery was. Notice how much it had increased compared to the 2004 estimate. One might say that that's biologically unreasonable. In fact, I think Paul would say that that's biologically unreasonable. But in hindsight, what it appears to have occurred is rather than first of all, there's a lot of noise, you know, in these biomass estimates. So that line that gives us a smooth estimate that's more biologically reasonable, and an annual point is, you know, has less value than that smooth that trend. What is likely to have happened in that earlier estimate in 2004 biomass, because that was an underestimate. And one of the ways of explaining that is that the predicted 2006 biomass was right in the neighborhood of what was actually estimated when the data became available. So because the biomass in 2006 was above the biomass threshold, if the stock is below the biomass threshold, it's considered to be overfished. Because it was not below the threshold, but above the threshold by quite a bit, then we would report that the stock status for spiny bogfish is that they are not overfished. Then we would review the landings and the discards for the most recent year again for what we had last year, which were the landings for 2006. We saw that U.S. commercial landings and Canadian commercial landings were roughly the same in terms of the proportion, total proportion taken. U.S. commercial discards represent the largest source of removals. Again, this is just in terms of mature females. And recreational landings, while not near as high in the total magnitude or in the magnitude of the other sources of removals, is not insignificant. So total removals of about 20 million pounds resulted in an estimated fishing mortality of in 2006 of about 0.11. The rebuilding target, according to the rebuilding plan, specifies a fishing mortality target of 0.11. So that was kind of nice. So we hit the target. And in terms of reporting the stock status to the council and to the service, the fishing mortality threshold, which is estimated at 0.39, is the upper bound. And because 0.11 is less than 0.39, then we could say that overfishing was not occurring. So, and overall, right now what we've got is a stock that is not overfished, and overfishing is not occurring. However, it's still in the rebuilding plan, okay? The rebuilding process. Has it recovered? If the, unfortunately, when the federal plan was developed, the biomass target, you know, so that once achieved, the stock could be declared to be recovered. The biomass target that was sent forward by the council to the service was 90% of the biomass target recommended by the Mid-Atlantic Council's Science and Statistical Committee. For that reason, the National Marine Fisheries Service rejected that aspect of the plan. So the plan was partially approved when it was submitted. So currently in the plan, biomass target is undefined. So, you know, even if the stock is above currently what the SSC originally recommended, we cannot declare the stock to be recovered. Okay, so more on that later. Here's sort of a typical thing. What's the monitoring committee and the monitoring committee and joint committee and the councils all have the same charge. Like I said before, ensure the target will not be exceeded in a given year. F rebuild is the F target, and that's 0.11 right now. Monitoring committee will meet and review projections to arrive at the hardest levels that will accommodate that charge. Last year we looked at status quo landings at a 6 million pound commercial quota scenario and 8 million pound commercial harvest scenario. Again, this is all in terms of mature females. We also had to consider whether other sources of removals, discards, Canadian landings, were going to remain constant or increase proportionally with biomass. So the other sources would be recreational removals, discards, and commercial natives, as I said. So we looked at trends in those and basically decided that there was none. And so we were comfortable with the assumption that and also there was evidence that effort might be declining in the New England area. So we became comfortable with the notion that that those other sources of renewables were not going to increase. So the other thing we looked at was the projection of biomass. This is the figure that Paul showed earlier. I'll mention that, you know, this undulating projection trend has persisted throughout the management history, or you know, since we've been looking at this on an annual basis, and what's important to note is that just from a precautionary standpoint, is that there's actually more confidence in the reduction in the drop in biomass as a result of that period of low recruitment than there is in the subsequent increase in biomass, because the reduction in biomass is based on observed recruitment, and the following increase is based on recruitment being fed into the projection as a function of off the stock recruitment curve, so as a function of biomass. Okay, so this is sort of artificial. You know, these are numbers that are calculated rather than coming from observed trends. But nevertheless, that trend persists, or that, the shape of that persists. So the projections, in various scenarios were looked at by the monitoring committee last year, and because the target F was 0.11, our charge was to identify a harvest that would not exceed the target F. We came up with a 6 million pound quota. We considered another management measure, which is strip limits. This has become a kind of contentious issue, and we could not come to a consensus on strip limits. However, we did agree that there was no direct link between what the strip limits were. We couldn't match up a certain strip limit size and the target F. The committee did agree that federal and state regulations should be consistent. We considered the strip limits are more of an allocation issue. The range of strip limits under consideration was 600 pounds, which is what's currently specified for federal waters, to 3,000 pounds, which is what's currently specified in state jurisdictional waters. So after the monitoring committee met, the joint committee met, and here are the recommendations. 6 million pounds from the monitoring committee, that's in yellow. Multi-year specs, that's just an action to reduce the administrative burden. We can just keep it going if nothing changes in the subsequent year. And no consensus on strip limits. As the joint committee recommended a higher commercial quota, 8 million pounds, only wanted that for 2008, and recommended strip limits of 3,000 pounds, or whatever's consistent with the commission's plan. Then the council was, as part of their agenda, discussed it and recommended management measures for 2008. So the monitoring committee recommended a commercial quota of 6 million pounds, consistent with a F of approximately 0.11, which is the F target. And the council recommended a quota after receiving the committee, the monitoring, and the joint committee's recommendations. Like the joint committee quota better. So we've done the who, what, why, where, or who, what, why, and how, and this is the hump, because the target is that's specified by the council is actually greater than, the charge is to assure that the target F is not exceeded, but the quota that was specified as was based on the information provided to the council was clearly greater than the F target. So how can this happen? Following the process, the stock status determinations given to the monitoring committee, they develop their recommendations. The joint committee makes its recommendations. The councils make a recommendation, send it to NIMS. NIMS then has the ball and has to put this into the regulations. Needless to say, the National Marine Fisheries Service did not go along with the council's recommendation. And the reason for that is there's a real difference. For those of you who aren't familiar with the council and the National Marine Fisheries Service process, the council can object to, in good faith, but, with all due respect, Paul, we don't believe your assessment. The council members might say, you're the smartest guy in the world, and never anyone smarter, but you're wrong. Those are the words. It's been on record many times that they can, the management has find a dogfish. So, but the National Marine Fisheries Service is not as flexible, okay? They're in a bit of a box. The box that they're in has to do with this figure here, which is supposed to bring to mind the idea of litigation, the courts, and things like that. But lawyers at NIMS really don't want to have anything to do with. So they justify their adoption of a lower quota and lower trip limits by saying, well, no, we're bound to these national standards, and the best scientific information was presented and that's what we're going to go with. So, as I said, the National Marine Fisheries Service, you've got the sword hanging over them, sword of Damocles there. They can be sued, okay, because they're the acting agency. And the council cannot really be sued because we have no authority. Okay, so in a lot of times what the council will recommend is a principled statement about the condition of the stock. They're wanting their opinion to be heard. But it may be known explicitly that the service is not going to go along with that. So it just kind of goes on record as we don't agree. The council's free to do that. National Marine Fisheries Service is worried about litigation, and so they tend not to do that. I didn't get to the Quinn. The inertia of the federal fisheries management system is an amazing thing. It's change should probably be measured on a geological time scale rather than using your yearly planner. Hopefully we're going to be able to deal with this idea of a recovered stock. We need to fix the undefined biomass target we have right now in the loop, and it's supposed to shoot through real quick, a bit of bureaucratic laxative that will make it less administratively burdensome to adapt management to the updates to the biological reference points. And this is just like, the alcoholic says every December 31st, next year is going to be different. And I certainly hope so for the council system. And that I'll close and field the question.
Thanks, Jim. Sure. Any questions? Jim, first, because we didn't make the long and skeptic with this process. I've been holding in my hand an assessment of the spiny goldfish in Atlantic Canada, which I sent you a copy for. And the second point in the summary says, for the most part, spiny goldfish tagged in Canadian waters have remained in Canadian waters, and those tagged in U.S. waters have remained in U.S. waters. However, there is some movement of 10% to 20% between Canada and U.S. waters, with the Gulf of Maine region being the primary mixing ground. Now, when I see science saying we have to include all of the Canadian lands in the U.S. lands when we're fishing for the stock, and I see science when I read the rest of this report, and I encourage everybody to get a copy of it. It's on the internet. Then my question becomes, how much of that scientific process that you kept referencing as being the best available is the best available if it does not include science from other parts of the world? That's question number one. And then question number two, when a council builds a plan just to target the female rebuilding, and none of the scientists say, wait a minute, if we allow the male biomass to continue to increase in size and only target rebuilding females, then why should anybody using common logic believe that type of science that continues to say we're going to rebuild the stock by killing the females and allowing the males to be? Would you answer that question? Why should anybody believe the logic from science that says kill all the females you want to and leave the males, and the stock size is going to increase?
Well, I don't think we've ever said kill all the females we want to. It's the commercial quota or the restriction on harvest has always been in terms of achieving a target F on mature females. So the restrictions really do focus on them. We've tried several times to allow for harvest of male dogfish, and the interest just never really developed. I think there's acknowledgement from the center and the information Paul presented that not only are there a lot of males out there, but there might be too many males out there. And it certainly is worth bringing up when the management, when we review it, and I would hope that maybe one of the subjects that could come up at the track assessment might be to look at that male-only fishery. Hypothetically, yeah, you could go out there, you go offshore where you're likely to just run into male schools and take a bunch of males. Enforcement-wise, it ought to be pretty straightforward because morphologically they're different. They got claspers, sort of like the hunting season, and you're only allowed to have antlered deer or something. You just have claspered dogfish. Then you're under a different set of trip limits and that sort of stuff than for female dogfish. The problem is, theoretically it can happen. It's just, and I really don't think that, as slow as the bureaucratic machine moves, as slow as the gears in the bureaucratic machine move, I think we could specify, I don't want to, don't bet the bank on it, but I think we could specify even this year a much more liberal, harvest restrictions on males than on females. It just becomes a problem, as far as where they're coming from. It's easier it costs a lot of money to go offshore, way offshore, where you're bound to, you're more likely to hit these mostly male schools. And so you're going to have to harvest a hell of a lot of male dogfish. Probably just, and then get, not much form because they're so small that you put them through the mill and turn them into cat food or something. Whatever you want to do with them, but theoretically it's certainly possible. And in terms of you asked two questions. The first question had to do with incorporating the results of the Canadian assessment, or why haven't those been taken into account in management? And that assessment came out in 2007, early 2007, I think is the date the PDF that you can get from the GFO website. Oh, 2008. Oh, good. Well, that helps even more in weaseling out of this. But we're very much looking forward to this joint assessment, and that's going to hopefully change a lot, but it'll allow for an integration of that, and then the best available science is hopefully going to improve, because we're going to have to discard data for the Canadian fishery. We've never had that before. I don't know. I've met a few Canadians. Yeah. So we'll see what comes of that. Their fishery does seem to be a little bit different in terms of, they get more males, this stuff just doesn't happen overnight. We have to wait for these types of formal scientific reviews to occur before the service, you know, when we use the results of something to justify a management action, the service is going to look like, well, where did that come from? Is it just, you know, was it talk at a council meeting? Was it, you know, a peer review workshop? They're more likely to take the latter seriously. So that's what we're waiting for. Sam?
Very quickly. I kept waiting for the final answer. So despite the six and the 8 million pound quota recommendations by the monitoring committee and the council, we are left with 4 million pounds in total orders.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Right.
What was the 2006 biomass estimate?
The stochastic estimator of mature female biomass was 141,000 metric tons. The 3-year moving average was a little higher than that, 150 something. But that's all about
female.
Mature females.
Yeah, mature.
Doing them right. Maybe I should ask this earlier, but you talk about the discards of 8.4 million pounds thereabouts or something. How many of them are male and how many of them are female? Because if you looked at the, I guess it was 1,000 metric tons in gillnet fisheries or different fisheries, some fisheries are taken offshore, whereas predominantly males, I reckon, and the females. So what's the breakdown there? How many's females and how many's males at that discard, since it seemed like you looked at the other things?
Well, all those, the Canadian landings, the U.S. landings, and the U.S. commercial discards were all in, and the recreational, were all in terms of female, mature females. So the total discards of spiny dogfish were, higher than that, but Paul, do you have the percentage or the ratio? Did we apply the ratio on the landings?
For the most part, it's females. There's not as much of the male discard roster, but I can check on that. It's a good point. I can give you the numbers on that. The next composition of that. For many of those fisheries are inshore fisheries.
Karen Wall from the Fisherman Magazine. My quick question is, when is this next peer review assessment going to be? I didn't think I heard that mentioned.
Well, I was encouraged to hear from Paul that it's likely to be right around the beginning of the year, January or February.
There's two components to that. There's a data meeting in which the various parties get together and sort of review the underlying data that will be used for the assessment. So that's your surveys, your discards, your landings, any other tagging information that's relevant to the process, your discard survival rates, and so forth. And it's supposed to occur in January, February. That sent out an email to Canada last night from correct with that. The assessment meeting, that is, the integration of the information, it's being proposed for late spring, early summer of next year. So that's sort of the process now. I think it's one of the reasons there hasn't been that sort of joint assessment has been the fact that Canada has had a 5-year research program with industry there to sort of get a handle on size composition, sex composition, selectivity properties, and all that stuff for their fisheries, primarily in the Bay of Fundy. As Jim said, it's a longer process than anybody would like, but that's sort of where it is right now.
Yeah, the assessment that was made available this year and it was actually the first Canadian Canadian assessment on spiny dogfish. Of course, we had three or four assessments on spinies in the less.
Tom DePersia. Is the reason that NIMS didn't go with a higher quota because of what the Science Center recommended?
Well, I don't want to... I think part of it, we were in a three-year the third year of a multi-year specification series, and in each of those years, the quota was 4 million pounds, and the trip limits were 600 pounds. So the service could have increased the quota to 6 million pounds in keeping with the recommendation of the monitoring committee to achieve the target out there. Or it could have just not gone through the rulemaking process and left things at 4 million pounds. So it chose to do the latter. I believe, and I don't want to, you know, this is just my opinion, but because the commission went up to 8 million pounds, and that was, according to the projections, going to exceed target F, I believe that the maintaining it at 4 was also a reaction to the commission's action, sort of like, you know, a precautionary reduction in the quota, so not to allow that, not to allow it to increase.
And a question to Paul, what would your recommendation be for the future here, for the coming year? I mean, we're going to run into the same situation where NIMS is going to, no matter what we come up with as a recommendation, that NIMS is just going to reject it? And what would you recommend, you know, for the fishery? What would you recommend for a quota?
I have a diplomatic interview with this one. No, seriously. What I recommend really doesn't matter. It's what goes through this process here. Like I said, I think there are a lot of hopeful signs. I think there's a lot of things that look good for a more rational fisheries policy in light of this resource being, you know, approaching rebuild. As Jim said, you know, there's no target in place right now. There's a couple of good things in terms of the joint assessment with Canada. There's, you know, the rapid rise in the stock abundance. All of that says those regulations can probably change. Now, whether that is going to, we'll start that process in a couple of weeks. We'll go through that long series of questioning and by SSC and the monitoring committee and other processes before it gets to the council. But I think there's a good chance that things are going to move towards more liberalization of land. You still have that problem of that payback period, and you know, we don't have a lot of things in fisheries like this. I mean, this is more like big game management than it's standard fishing kind of theory. You're trying to put a cookie cutter around something that is quite different. So I guess, you know, the first answer is I think there's some hopeful signs, and I think it'll start to move in a direction that generates a long-term fishery. And I think we can use this opportunity to really, you know, say what is it? What do you want to do? I mean, if you want to, you know, exterminate them, that's one option. The other one is to say, okay, let's have a long-term fishery on this thing, figure out a way to make money on it. And collateral damage that occurs in your industry is another issue, but I think having the stock at a manageable level is something that is bodes well for both reducing interactions and increasing profits.
I just don't think hopeful is good enough for us right now. We're desperate. We need something has to be done here. So I just hope that when we get through with this whole meeting process today, that done something positive that would have formed a coalition to move forward, other than just saying, we're going to just kind of take whatever the National Marine Fisheries Service wants to give us. And that's basically what they did, even though the recommendation, the process went and said, you should did more, NIMS did what they wanted to do. So the whole process was a waste of time as far as I can see. So we need to come up with something other than just leaving here with hopeful. We need to form something that's going to start a process going here. Thank you.
One more question, comment. Jim, then we'll take your 10-minute break.
Thanks, Jim. A question here regarding, talking about the fish mortality, 0.13 is what ended up being this year, would have been the proposed mortality, and that's why NIMS turned down the recommendations from the council. 0.11 is the target. Now, when you developed that, when that number came up at 0.13, that was under a 3,000-pound trip limit, federal and inshore?
No, it was just the trip limit was not part of that because
it was just under an 8 million pound quota.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if, because this is where you need to be looking, because I'm sure this is why the council recommended 8 million pounds, even though it didn't sit in there. I was on here years ago, and I know exactly what his argument was. One, I don't agree that state water fisheries is a bycatch fishery. It's a directed fishery. Okay, at 3,000 or more pounds, that's a directed fishery, which is increasing the mortality on the females. Okay, while at the same time, offshore and state or federal waters, 8 million pounds of females are being caught and discarded. Okay, the council was looking at, let's have a federal and state water fishery at 3,000 pounds. Okay, if you have that, all of a sudden you've converted a large number of that 8 million pounds into land, into not discards, which is goes along with National Standard 8, reducing bycatch. I believe that's 8. Okay? So you would be converting bycatch, which is already counted as mortality. So that mortality there, okay, that bycatch mortality would now be converted to land ends. And I don't believe you come up with 1.3, and I don't believe that math was done. I believe if you ran at 3,000-pound trip limit in federal and state waters and shut it off when X amount of pounds was caught, that you would remain within your bycatch mortality, or within your fishing mortality range. And I don't think that science was done there. I don't think the numbers were run under that scenario.
I actually did some sort of simulations where different assumptions of fishery response once the fisheries closed were taken into account. And there are scenarios, if you try to avoid dogfish once the quotas been achieved, then you can actually, the total removals of dogfish under the higher trip limit can actually be less than under a lower trip limit, where you're only allowed to keep a small amount and you're just discarding, you know, the fishery stays open for a longer period of time, basically. And so, you know, but that's not, I guess I wasn't ready for prime time.
Believe me, fishermen try to avoid dogfish as much as possible. It's physically impossible, but nobody goes out looking for them at this point. Not in federal waters.